Going to read a part of a hymn for an opening, shall we say, illustration. I'm just going to read part of it. 291 in the Red Book. The hymn is called Crucified. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree, with pierced hands and feet and side, for you, for me. The title of the message tonight can be spoken of in the form of a question, such as, who gave himself for me? Or it can be spoken as an assertion, as a statement of fact, who gave himself for me? Now, in both of these cases, shall we say, the undefined who is the critical factor in both of these statements. What he gave of himself for me. Christ is the who, and we're going to talk some of those things of what he gave for you and for me in the work of salvation that he did. The topic scripture, of course, is taken from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, which I'd like to open with. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where the title comes from Galatians 2 and 20, who gave himself for me. We're going to look at some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ gave for you and for me. I'll be flipping to a number of scriptures so you can follow, give you the reference if you want to follow along, or you can just listen to them as I read them. The first one is taken from the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. This is an interesting statement, in that Christ is the body. It's not that a body was prepared for him and he entered into it or took over some other body of someone else. He was the body. He says, a body thou hast prepared me. He was the body. He was on the cross. He gave his body. During the time of his passion, he gave his body. Men treated him terribly doesn't scratch the surface. He gave himself fully for you and for me when he died on the cross. The first part of the message, we'll talk about that as a sort of the first point. He gave his head to wear the crown of thorns for me. You can put, this is not simply for me, but for you. The Father, it says in 1 John, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So the work of salvation was done once for all by Christ for each and every person throughout all time, for all humanity. Now, that doesn't mean that salvation is universal in that everyone is going to get saved, but simply that the work was done, it was efficient and effective enough to save one and all, whosoever will may come. But make no mistake about it, one must come to Christ or one must be lost. Our first scripture is taken from the Gospel of John chapter 19. And we'll read verses 2 to 5. Let's start at verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, verse 2, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. They took a bramble bush, what sometimes is referred to as a Jerusalem thorn, a vine which has very long, sharp thorns on it. And it says that they plaited it, which doesn't mean that they plaited it with chrome or gold or silver or anything like that, but they plaited it. They took it and wove it together, twined it around itself like you do, like a rope type of thing, into a more or less of a circle. And the force of this verse is they put it on his head. Basically, they put it on his head and shoved it into the skull. Long, sharp, painful thorns. And then Jesus came forth, it says, wearing the crown of thorns. The effect of that word there, wearing, is that it's like a burden. He was carrying a burden. He came forth wearing it, clothed with it. See, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now you can picture it, the weight of the sin of the whole world. The only way I can get some sense of the weight of the sin is to consider my own and then multiply that by the number of people that even you know, the number of people in Detroit, the number of people worldwide. I mean, the number goes exponentially. Just consider the weight of your own sin. You know? I was thinking about it on the way here, and I thought, how do you weigh that? And I thought, if you took a feather, which weighs, you know, can hardly get a weight of one good-sized feather on a gram scale. But you know, when you have a bale full of them, and then you have 10 bales, and 100 bales, and 1,000 bales, the scale goes up. Now, even if the weight of one person's sin was one feather, multiplied by the number of people on the earth now, and then go and try and calculate the weight of that, what are there, roughly six, I'm not sure, there's 6 billion people in the world? Is that, I think it's somewhere in there, but whatever the number is, then multiply that by the number of people over the ages. He bore the sin of every person, every sin, my sin, past, present, and future. He bore it. What a weight. What a weight. I think that crown, in a way, is a... how that would have hurt simply as a physical effect. But think how much spiritually that sin was repulsive to him, in that he was holy and he was the Holy One and he is the Holy One. And yet our sin, see, he was made sin for us. That doesn't mean that he was made a sinner, because even in this short portion we read, Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." And Peter says it over and over. But he came forth wearing that, even bearing the sin of the whole world. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. We're thinking of the idea of his head and the crown and what that head of Christ endured for you and for me. Matthew chapter 27. And verse 30. And they spit on him. You know, that really is enough to just knock you right down. And they spit on him. The Lord of glory, and they spit on him. You can't even do that on the sidewalk, really, and get away with it. And if you spit at any other person walking down the street, they've got you dragged into court, and who knows where you'll end up. It says that he hid not his face from shame nor spitting. He could have spoken a word and killed the person right there, but he didn't. He had come for a purpose, and he would go to the cross. He would do the work that he was sent to do. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It says, and they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. First the soldiers and those around pushed those sharp thorns into his head. You know what it's like when you bump your head, this hard bone on the end of a cupboard or something like that, or a door? You think it's just bone and it doesn't hurt at all, but you just hit something sharp like that, takes the breath away. Imagine what that was. It's beyond what we can really imagine. So we just sort of scratch the surface a little and try and get a sense of, from a human standpoint, some of the physical pain. But the sin was of a spiritual nature. The sin injured him. Imagine the Holy One who came, he was made sin for us. How that hurt in a spiritual sense. They smote him on the head. They took the reed and they mocked him. That was the mocking. That was the mocking. You think you're a king? And they smote him on the head. Shame. But he allowed it. See, he knew everyone. The soldiers put him, and they buffeted him, covered his head, and buffeted him with their hands and pushed him, as it were, in a more or less of a circle. See, prophesy, prophesy. Who hit you? Who hit you? They thought that they were all going to get away with it. You know, there'll come a day when they'll give account for that. And the Lord Jesus can say, and you hit me first, and then it was you, and then you were third, and you were fourth, and then you hit me again. See, it was not unknown to him. He could have prevented it, but he didn't. He had come to do a job that he could only do, and the job of salvation, the work of salvation that the Father sent him to do. I'd like to look at a few verses from some hymns which speak of this idea. The first one I read a portion from Crucified. These are all from the Red Book, number 59. I'm going to read verse 4 only. The hymn is titled, Lord Jesus, We Seek Thy Face, number 59. And verse 4. The brow that once with thorns was bound, thy hands, thy side, we fain would see. Draw near, Lord Jesus, glory crowned, and bless us while we wait on thee. The brow that once with thorns was bound. It is not now, but it was. 126, the next hymn, verse 1, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Verse 1, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead to bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. He bore our burden. He bore our shame. He bore our iniquity. He bore our guilt. And he paid the debt. He paid it all. He paid it all. For me, Lord Jesus, he paid it all. For you, he paid it all. Number 51, verse 3. All thy sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, thou art free. What a blessing for the believer. What a blessing. What a cost. And shall we say with a hymn writer, hallelujah, what a savior. Jesus, thy head once crowned, 124, stanza 1, 124. Jesus, thy head once crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now. Heaven's royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. You see, he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He's returned to heaven, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, ever to make intercession for you and for me. There was a crown of thorns, and now he has the highest place in heaven at the Father's right hand. And a further one, 125, verse 1, just down the page. Behold, a spotless victim dies, my surety on the tree. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice, he gave himself for me. He gave his head, and he also gave his eyes to weep tears for you and for me. He gave his eyes for you. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Was it the brick and the mortar? Was it the stone buildings? Was it the towers?